everybody. This is Lauren Baker from Search Engine Journal. Welcome to today's SEJ show, which is coming live to you on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and then various Twitter accounts. With me today is Mark Sparrow from Growth Bar. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good, Lauren. Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone.
Good. And I'm sorry?
I said hello, everyone.
Yes, hello. So just to let you all know, again, this is live. While we're doing today's podcast, if you have any questions for Mark as we're going over everything ranging from like AI to Mark's history to you know, how you can utilize Growth Bar and some other things, just go ahead and drop a comment or a question in the comments and we'll try to get to them. So Mark, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Mark, owner of Growth Bar, Growth Marketing Pro, formerly a corporate growth marketer. Live here in Oceanside, California. I can just see a peak of the beach from my window, and we love it. So I got my start in growth marketing actually when I started my own company 9 years ago. It was an e-commerce company, eco-friendly, somewhat similar to Everlane, if the audience is familiar. But what happens, nobody tells you that, when you start an e-commerce company, you're like, wow, I need to get customers to this site. They don't just like walk by your front door. So that sort of set me on a path to figure out how to get customers in the door, how to get people to a site, and then subsequently convert. So that business did pretty well. We were able to sell it for a small amount. And then I went on to work at tech companies in San Francisco, first a real estate technology company, then a telemedicine company, and then most recently, a large e-commerce company. I've since left, and now I do Growth Marketing Pro and Growth Bar full time.
Cool. Was that e-commerce company Minted, or was that another one?
Yeah, that's right. It was Minted.
And what exactly is Minted?
Minted is a 10 or so year old stationery company. Stationery art connects independent artists with a consumer base through a number of mediums, like I said, art, stationery, et cetera. Really great company, very well run, does about 200 plus million in revenue. And I oversaw all the paid channels there, paid and then some. So, you know, Google, Facebook, the normal food groups of paid marketing, as well as affiliate marketing and SEO.
Excellent. Excellent. So this is something I really wanted to talk to you about, because I had first stumbled upon Growth Marketing Pro, right? And had hit you guys up. I really like the videos that you do, some of the tutorials that you do. And then I like the fact that you look at growth, you address SEO, but then you look at growth beyond SEO. So in terms of, well, tell me a little bit about Growth Marketing Pro as well, or Marketing Growth Pro.
Yeah, Growth Marketing Pro. So during the course of working at these startups, I actually met and hired a woman named Haley Friedman. So Haley, some of you might see her on LinkedIn. She's like a pretty prolific LinkedIn person. Haley loves being the face of stuff, loves branding. I love writing. So together we came together and we were like, hey, you know, we're both in growth marketing. We think we really know this stuff well, and we're getting hands-on experience every day. Let's just start a blog, kind of like you did. And then, you know, here we are 5 years later, gets about, I think last year we had like 700,000 visitors to the site. And we have, you know, I still write on the blog weekly. And now we have actually an SEO agency alongside Growth Marketing Pro as well, which Haley is working on mostly full time. And I'm mostly working on Growth Marketing Pro content plus Growth Bar.
Awesome.
Yeah, still a passion of mine. Writing is like, probably, you know, one day I say I'll go write a book when I get a little more time.
More power to you. as you know, SEJ is 19 years old, right? So like when it started, I was just like, bam, writing every morning. And then I think I hit blogger block.
You burned out finally.
Yeah. And for me, I really enjoy this format because it gives me a chance to connect to people, learn a little bit, and then we just transcribe the conversations into a blog post. So it works perfectly.
It does sound a little easier. If you're game for it, it sounds a little easier. I hear you.
Okay, cool.
Before we get too far into our interview, we wanted to just thank you for listening to the Search Engine Journal show. We're going to take a quick break and bring you a little word from our sponsor. Do you need to improve your website's performance? Then get the speed you deserve with InMotion Hosting. InMotion Hosting provides fast and reliable website hosting for businesses of any size, all backed by 24/7 customer support and the industry's best money-back guarantee. Trust your website to the web hosting experts at InMotionHosting.com. Again, that's InMotionHosting.com. Now back to our show.
So you do SEO, right, at Growth Marketing Pro. And one thing I notice is that sometimes in the world of SEO, people, I don't want to say are in their own, have tunnel vision or whatever. But one thing I've definitely noticed in the past couple of years, especially, you know, after 2020, is that SEO is not just about, well, it wasn't really always about ranking and traffic. It was about driving leads, sales, conversions, whatever it may be. And there's more to growth than just organic alone. So one question I have for you, like to, just to get things started, is what are some of the ways to grow a company, especially like with your history with Minted and some others that may be overlooked from an SEO perspective or that can be integrated into overall SEO initiatives?
Yep. It's a really good question because like you said, I'm not a big social media guy, but in the last year or two, I've gotten on Twitter a little bit more and love the SEOs and I'm one of them myself, but it is kind of an echo chamber. You know, we can talk about SEO all day long, but the fact remains that it doesn't work for every business or it doesn't work as well as other channels. So, you know, throughout my career, I've been challenged to figure out new ways to grow and it's really, oops, sorry about that.
No problem.
Well, marketer, bless them. It's
a lead. Did you see the lead come through?
What? No. A telemarketer. Somebody was calling me anyway. So it really all comes down to, especially, you know, well, for any company, but like it's a CAC to LTV thing. Like how much are you spending to get a lead? How much does that lead give you? Sometimes SEO is the answer. Sometimes it's not. I think like one of the most overlooked channels in general is wholesale or just larger scale distribution, whether it be, you know, if it's an e-commerce company, it probably is wholesale. If you are some tech company, it's probably like, you know, another blog that has a ton of traffic in your area and you can be, you know, partner as affiliates, or just like a larger distribution place. There's, you know, tons and tons of content, as we all know, on the internet, and you don't necessarily need to create it. You just need to get users from that place to your place. So striking up big partnerships tends to be a really low CAC way of getting people in the door.
Exactly. And by partnerships, do you mean like trading links with them, trading traffic, doing something on the email side, or kind of all of the above?
It can be all of the above. Email is definitely one of the ways, you know, like in e-commerce, definitely like those like group buy formats work well. You know, there's some apps. There was one that used to be around Spring, which is an app that just like brought a bunch of e-commerce brands under one roof. Could be affiliate, you know, simple affiliate marketing, like give a percentage of every sale to X affiliate. Or it could be a large scale partnership, you know, like you send 10 email blasts for us and we will create content, include you in our podcast as a sponsor, whatever it might be. So I think people just like need to like, it's a lot of the same stuff as like link building, but like in a like larger scale. It's a lot of one-to-one, which makes it less scalable, but you know, they can be huge if done right.
So ironically, this is a podcast, right? And what's going to happen here is we're going to talk about everything that you do. And when we write it up in our show notes, we're probably going to link to you and link to some of your companies. And so that's a great way to show, like, as we're doing it, the way that you can grow your business and go beyond, like, quote unquote traditional linking, quote unquote traditional link building or traditional PR. And it's something that I really always encourage my clients to do, especially if they have a spokesperson, is just get out there, do a podcast tour, do one, do two, do three. And some of the value that comes from those links is incredible. And then at the same time, you're also reaching an audience, right? That's learning from you, that's building trust from you. And it's your social proof at the end of the day. So I like that you brought that up.
It's huge. And it's like a virtuous cycle, like you said. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're all trying to, you know, get our name out there, accomplish whatever goal we're trying to accomplish. And we can't do it alone.
So I also noticed that, you know, when we talked about this at first, your T-shirt says Growth Bar. In addition to Growth Marketing Pro, you also have Growth Bar. Could you tell us a little bit about more about Growth Bar, what it is, and then what you've been able to accomplish through this technology?
Yeah. So Growth Bar came out of Growth Marketing Pro. Like I said, I write a ton of content. And then, you know, as a lot of the audience probably knows, GPT-3 came around, which is a AI natural language model that's built on, it's called a limited memory model, which basically means it's scraped the entire web or a lot of the web and can surface natural language text based on inputs. So after writing tons and tons of articles, we obviously write articles for our agency clients as well. We were like, hey, you know, there are these GPT-3 tools out there, but they're kind of across the board and they don't really focus in one place. Our goal is to focus and to be the number one AI tool for SEO content. A little bit of a mouthful, but basically it means like if you're writing tons of content and if content is the major way that you're driving traffic and conversions on your site, Growth Bar's for you. So it's a tool that's, you know, complete with keyword research, backlink research, and then of course, like, and then rank tracking. And then of course the AI content piece. So you can literally take a keyword, throw it into Growth Bar. It's going to surface, hundreds of like ranking signals, things you need to include in the article. And then you can click a button as you go and like continue writing your article along the way. We have drag and drop features. You can drag headlines, images in there. And it basically just like shortens the writing cycle from, you know, what could be hours to hopefully minutes.
So I like that you said shorten the writing cycle because there is writing involved. It's not, we're not talking about the AI being a replacement for writing. We're talking about the AI kind of being an assistant or a proven assistant along the way, correct?
Yeah, I totally agree. Like at the end of the day, Google, many of its ranking signals, as you know, and as most of the audience probably knows, like they're human signals. They're your bounce rate. The dwell time, like Google is kind of like watching and seeing how humans are interacting with your site. So at the end of the day, if the AI is not as good as human created content, it's not going to rank. It's just that simple. So if you're creating AI content, editing it, and then combing it through and like really giving it a read over and saying like, hey, are humans going to stay on the site and really enjoy what I'm writing? Then you've got a great formula. But if not, you know, AI isn't going to replace human content yet. I mean, there's a future probably where this will happen, but that future isn't now. And there's not a single AI writing tool out there. I know because I've tried them all that is going to like completely replace what like a human can do.
Nice, nice. So what kind of companies does Growth Bar work with at the moment?
Yeah, we actually have a number of larger clients. I took Minted with us as a customer. But companies like, hopefully I can name them on air with no problem. Speckit uses it, which is a pretty large tech company. Square actually uses it. Postmates, and a number of other like kind of like tech companies. Anybody who's creating a lot of content, and then agencies definitely too. We have a lot of agencies using it, small and mid-sized agencies mostly who are creating content for clients, kind of exactly like Growth Marketing Pro is doing for our clients. It's kind of fun because we are like the target customer. So it makes building the thing a lot easier. So I'm getting feedback all the time. Just yesterday, I, you know, Slacked our agency employees and was like, hey, how do you guys think this new homepage looks for the Growth Bar app? And I got great feedback that way because they're the ones using it. I'm the one using it. So it's like really easy to build it like that. And I, you know, a lot of VCs and stuff will tell you that's the way to build a great company. You've got to be the subject matter expert in the space. So
I love that. So you're getting feedback from your customer base to help not only make your tool better, but to also make
the agency more efficient. The
experience better, right?
Yep. Yep.
Nice. Totally. Nice. Very cool. Very cool. And then what are some other growth tactics that you've utilized over the years that have helped companies that you worked with and that you're implementing into marketing your own solution?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, distribution and partnerships is like everything. And that's, you know, the lowest cost per acquisition way of getting out there. So distribution tactics, I love referral programs, obviously been around since, you know, like Dropbox or like Hotmail's famous referral programs back in the day. Affiliate programs, like we talked about, like, you know, there's a lot of people writing about content, about SEO. And like, obviously everybody who's doing that could be an affiliate of Growth Bar and hopefully is. I spend a lot of my time doing outreach to those folks. PR is huge too. PR is like a way to reach people. Like, I mean, this show, thank you for having me, Lauren, is like a way, like you said, to reach a new audience and, like share the story with the world. And then, you know, finally, like I come back to something, I'm not going to get the quote right, but like Jeff Bezos said, like, let your product do the talk. I'd rather spend on product than on marketing. And he's totally right, because like the conversations one customer has with another customer organically are like, you know, that's an acquisition right there. And you didn't pay for it other than to build the product. So at the end of the day, like making the best possible product is the way that the thing is going to work or not work. So I spend a whole lot of my time scoping stuff, working with our engineers to make sure that we're building the right stuff.
That's really cool. And it's really interesting because, you know, on the agency side, in addition to SEJ, I also have an agency, Foundation Digital.
I didn't know that.
We do a lot of SEO content, things like that. And we don't necessarily market ourselves. Like all of our business comes from personal referrals, word of mouth. The great resignation has been great for business because people are going from one company to another. Yep. And again, that's that trust factor, right? You build trust and transparency with your client base. They're going to want to work with you again in the future, right? And that's one thing I always tell people that are getting into SEO. I hear this more in PPC than in SEO, but for a lot of PPC companies that I talk to, they're like, oh yeah, our old agency, they kept everything in a black box. Like they never really shared anything with us, right? And I'm like, what? Like, how can you even operate that way? And the thing is, by being transparent, by sitting down, by talking to people about, you know, how can you help them? What are they looking for? What are their needs? And being able to pivot and provide that, especially in an industry where things are changing daily. Right. Like Google's putting out an announcement now every week. There's an update all the time. Like no longer like a Google dance or Google, like there's a core update that we're in the middle of or at the tail end of right now. Right. But it's constantly updated. So the ability to pivot, the ability to like listen to your customers and the ability to share exactly what's going on and to not control expectations, but to set them. And to be honest with them, I thought has helped me go a long way from a consulting perspective. And I'm sure that also sounds like that helps on the tool side as well.
Completely. Like pivot, like you said, pivot in feedback. I totally agree.
Cool. So we did have a question come in from Babalola. Has a little question here. He doesn't know if anyone is actually seeing this, but he's asking if it's advisable to use AI tools to generate 100% of content out there. Is that something that you would suggest?
I see on Twitter sometimes people say that they've used Growth Bar or another tool to generate a ton of content for their site, like near 100% of the content. And I think in some small niches, I do think it can work. I don't think I would recommend it. Again, like the content's not going to be the best in class stuff. Like Haley and I, whenever we talk about writing content, we say like write the best thing on the internet. Like that is, you know, the way that a smaller blog or website particularly can compete with a larger like search engine journal or a HubSpot or whatever. If we're talking about the SEO space, it's like, you've got to write something that's like two times better than what else is out there. And unless you think the AI tool is doing a good job doing that, you shouldn't do it. I think, you know, Growth Bar and other tools like it can get you pretty darn close. I don't think it can get you all the way.
Gotcha. I also believe John Mueller came out last week and mentioned something about Google is doing a good job of picking up content that's written particularly by AI only. And for people really to spend the time making sure that content does have a personal touch.
I saw that. And that was, yeah, I thought that was interesting because Google, they explicitly came out, I think like a month ago and said that they're okay with AI content. I think they like removed it from their like list of like black hat things to do. But yeah, I struggled to understand how they can pick up on it because it is natural language and it is, you know, it's completely unique. But somehow, I mean, Google's smarter than all of us. So somehow they're doing something right.
Somehow. And then there are situations where it may make a little bit more sense. So like, for example, if I'm working on an e-commerce site that has thousands upon thousands of products and I want to differentiate, let's say, for example, I'm not making my own product. I'm selling other companies' products like most stores do, right? I want to make sure that I'm differentiating those product descriptions so they're different than everyone out there. It's not necessarily scalable to hire a writer to do that for thousands and thousands of products. So that could be a scenario where you have all of those data points that have already been defined, even the same data points that you would have in a feed, right? And then be able to turn that into something that's original, that's natural and scalable, and then maybe go through down the line and have someone kind of touch it up a little bit. Might make a little sense.
I think you totally nailed it there. Like, the future of AI, one of the biggest use cases, like in addition to writing and SEO writing, is totally e-commerce. Like I think it's like one of the largest because e-commerce, you know, the margins aren't good. The, like you said, the breadth of SKUs means that you've got to hire somebody to sit there all day long and write product descriptions and email, you know, and whatever else. Like there's so much copy and it's not that high a value. I totally think AI can do the job. I think you're totally right.
Awesome. So while I was going through your site, I did notice something that really caught my attention. You have something called the One Tree Initiative that's associated with either Growth Bar or Growth Marketing Pro. Could you go through that a little bit with our listeners and current viewers to tell us about what you're doing and how you're helping to give back a bit out there?
Totally. So yeah, we work with a nonprofit called One Tree Planted. Little strange, I think, for like SaaS companies to have a give back mechanism. Like, you know, you think about like the Patagonias, the Warby Parkers, the Tom's Shoes, Bombas socks. Like it's more of an e-commerce like brand thing to have a give back association. And I think that's because it works and it's like a talking point. To be honest, I'm not sure it's much of a talking point for our customers. We don't even like advertise it so much. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can find it. But like at the end of the day, I'm just sort of, Haley and I are both just sort of like eco warriors. Like I love SEO, I love Growth Bar, but you know, I think my impact on the world, I hope is when I'm dead and gone, is gonna be something in the eco space. So we have, you know, the margins to do it. We have the ability to do it. And we're like, hey, what, you know, why not? Like maybe it's a little weird for a SaaS company to do a give back. I actually have seen a couple of others. Let me be clear that there are a few others doing this, but like, you know, why not? Basically is like the best answer I can give.
It's a nice feel good differentiation type thing too, right?
Yeah. And it works with the name too. Growth Bar. You know,
oh, it does. Right.
That wasn't the reason, but it did end up working fine like that.
Very cool. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about how AI can play a part in overall marketing, even besides SEO? Because there's all kinds of content marketing out there. Whether it be on-site, off-site, email delivery, et cetera. Any other uses out there for AI-produced content?
Yep. I'll talk about like AI in marketing because like, yeah, in content, like I think the use case is crystal clear. The other places, and you hit the nail on the head with e-commerce, like e-commerce, just because of the volumes of content that need to be made, I think it's huge. I think sales, in fact, like I'm not the first person to identify this. There's a number of companies in the sales AI space that it makes total sense because like the amount of lead qualification that happens and then like manual emails back and forth between salespeople and leads, AI has jumped in a lot there. And there's companies like some of the ones I know, like Drift and SetSail, who are doing a really great job pairing AI with the sales process. The other one I see, there's a company that I heard of called Sisu, which is a data company. And they're in like, I don't even know what you'd call this space, like data AI space. They basically, I think what they do is like hook into your, Snowflake or Tableau instance or whatever it is, wherever you keep your data. And like somehow the AI magic comes up with like, you know, if revenue was down last week, it'll surface like, okay, this is the reason likely that revenue is down. It just like combs through volumes of data and surfaces some crazy answer to that question. I think it was started by some like Stanford PhD. So I'm like not surprised it can do some pretty crazy stuff. But that's, you know, in like data analytics is the other place I see AI playing like a pretty big role and already is, I guess. Oh, I lost you, Lauren.
Sorry, I muted myself. Now I'm unmuted. No. Just to add to that question, Maxwell Pond says, you know, he used Jasper for a while, wasn't too happy with the content, walked away unconvinced that it was usable for blog posts. We talked about e-commerce. You just talked about utilizing data for other uses. Is there any other use cases that you would suggest as well?
Yeah. So
not to repeat the same question, but
no. Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll say first off to plug Growth Bar one more time. I mean, like none of these other tools, and believe me, I have like researched the hell out of all the other tools out there. Like none of them have been created by SEOs as far as I know. So like, it's frankly, like, I think they do a fair job. I think we do a better job, but I'm real biased. At like creating content that can be used in long form blog content. I think the other big use cases, if you are, and in fact, I know this is a use case because we have a number of clients or customers at Growth Bar in the like news space. So like, you know, I put Search Engine Journal in that category. Like you guys publish a ton of stuff and there are obviously sites that publish even more content than you guys. So like ideating on content is a really good one as well. So like if you're trying to, I read somewhere at one point, Huffington Post was publishing like an article per minute or something like that.
Crazy.
You can imagine the writer's block you probably get then. So just like using it to ideate too feels like a really great use case.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. I like was shocked when I read that.
I always tell people this story. I think it was Business Insider first started. I went and I visited one of the people on the growth team. It was a friend who just moved over from Time Magazine. And it, at the time, this is like a decade ago, they had an office on one floor of a building in New York. And there had to be 100 writers in that room. I think it's a comic or analogy. I think Google put it out. It was like pigeons, like, if you have enough pigeons or whatever, just typing away at the keyboard, someone's going to write a masterpiece. It was just like that. And it kind of had a sweatshop mentality.
The other company I saw just like that is Healthline in the healthcare space. I went into that office. They've also, by the way, got like their Google Analytics real-time data on this like big screen when you walk in.
Really?
So good God, the amount of real-time traffic they have was like 20,000 plus at any given time. You know, this was like a Tuesday at like 8 a.m. or something like that. They had 20,000 plus people on the site. But yeah, they too have like, it felt like hundreds of writers. I have no idea, but it was so.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of utilizing AI tools, not necessarily to write, but just to put together, like you said, to put together those content briefs, right?
Yep.
To see what else is out there, how you can make it better.
Yep.
What the competition may not be doing that you can capitalize on, right? Is there a mobile element, a graphic element? Are there a table of contents? Is there something that's going to flow as you're scrolling? Is there a scroll stop mechanism that gets someone's attention so they're spending more time on the content than they would have if they're just reading word to word to word to word to word? So all of that sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to check it out after the show.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the SEJ Show, which is made possible by this little break and a word from our sponsor. Do you need to improve your website's performance? Then get the speed you deserve with InMotion Hosting. InMotion Hosting provides fast and reliable website hosting for businesses of any size, all backed by 24/7 customer support and the industry's best money-back guarantee. Trust your website to the web hosting experts at InMotionHosting.com. Again, that's InMotionHosting.com. Now back to our show.
Mark, you mentioned that you're based in Oceanside. I'm up here in Santa Clarita.
How long?
Yeah, not too far away. How long have you been in Oceanside for?
Only about a year and a half. My fiance and I were one of the many people that during COVID, well, I was in San Francisco, we were in San Francisco, and my favorite city in the entire world, but during the middle of COVID, San Francisco was really a little tough to be there. For the audience listening and those folks living in San Francisco, things have gotten a lot better because I've subsequently gone back and visited. Anyway, my fiance's parents were down here and she was like, we need to move to San Diego. And I decided there were worse places to be. So now
we're here. First time I drove to Oceanside, this is just a personal story. First time I drove to Oceanside, I wasn't paying attention to my gas gauge and it was almost on empty. And as soon as I realized it was almost on empty, what is that, Camp Pendleton? I hit the Camp Pendleton area where there's no place
there's
to get
nothing.
Off.
There's nothing. Literally nothing there.
So I'm driving and I'm just, and the little like the lights flashing and everything else. And I literally drifted off of the exit, the first exit once you hit Oceanside, and like drifted into the gas station.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was on my way to Carlsbad for a meeting. And I was like, oh no, please don't let me run out of gas in the middle of Camp Pendleton and have to like get the highway patrol or like some federal help or something to push me to the gas station.
Who would be not happy because they've got bigger fish to fry down here.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, your hobbies, what you like to do, things like that. You're near the ocean, in the Bay Area. So anything in particular, what do you do in your spare time when you're not coding up AI growth solutions?
I was going to say, I mean, like I'm... My fiance will tell you, I'm like such a nerd when it comes to business and growth and personal finance and stuff like that. So like, I wish I was cooler, but that's truly what I spend a heck of a lot of my time doing. The other thing to mention is that I have to think about my life before and after my herniated disc in my neck. So before, which was 6 months ago, I was surfing a lot, playing a lot of basketball, herniated my disc playing basketball. And since then, I haven't done much, to be honest, which is fine. It's given me some time to focus on, you know, Growth Bar and other things. But as soon as that's better, I'll get back in the water.
Wow, surfing and basketball. It's pretty...
I'm getting too old for this, too, I think, is part of the learning here. Like, it's just not... Things don't recover as quickly.
What position do you typically play?
Some sort of not good shooting guard.
Awesome.
Wish I was better. I played soccer growing up, and like when I finally started playing basketball in like high school and like rec leagues, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally like should have played this game my whole life.
Well, at least you had the stamina from soccer to be able to run back and forth down.
Do it for a little bit. Are you a basketball guy?
No, my son is though.
Okay.
So I'm a basketball dad. I'm one of the guys in the, I'm pretty easygoing, except for when it comes to games. I'm the guy in the stands yelling at the refs the whole time.
Are you on the refs? Ugh.
Yeah, I'm always yelling at the refs. Like,
my mom was a soccer ref. She'd be mad at you.
Yeah. They really impressed me though, because they can stand there. They may make the worst calls ever, but they'll stand there and take it the whole game. And
absolutely, like, totally. Wow.
And I'm not that bad. Like, I'm probably a one compared to like the 1 through 10 of basketball dads. So it's kind of insane.
I've seen the tens. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure having you today on the SEJ show. Really learning more about like just growth outside of SEO, about Growth Bar, AI content itself. I just dropped your Twitter handle. So anyone that wants to follow Mark on Twitter, it's at Growth MKTING Pro. And I just dropped it for our live viewers as well. Before we sign off today, anything else that you'd like to mention, go over, anything else along those lines?
No, thanks for having me, Lauren. I'm a big fan of you and SEJ, and everyone be nice to each other. It's a lot.
There we go. So, yep. If any viewers or listeners, and just as a reminder, we do these shows live, but we will produce the audio next week and we'll drop it on a Wednesday. Craig Aubrey, interesting question. Have you checked out the Ahrefs search engine yet? Yep.com.
I did. I actually tweeted at Ahrefs because, first of all, I think it's interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall for the conversations happening about Yep, because I don't entirely understand it. And like, we know that a couple of companies have tried to make search engines work that are not Google, and I'm not sure many of them have done all that well. I think like DuckDuckGo has done pretty well with its like privacy kind of take on it. I don't understand, I guess, what the differentiator is with Yep, but like the Ahrefs guys are pretty smart. So I assume there's something. But what I was tweeting at them about was like, for keywords that I know that my blog or Growth Bar rank, you know, in the top like couple for in their search engine, we ranked like number 10 or 12 for. I was like, guys, I'm never using this search engine unless you change something. But that was pretty selfish of me. But yeah, I don't know much about it, but I'm definitely reading along and I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow and see what they have something up their sleeve. So we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like we're not getting the full story but it was weird that they released this all without the full story, because I think a lot of people listening to the show and people like us are like, you know, fairly sophisticated SEOs and digital marketers, and like we're all like, what's the end game here? Like, I've never seen Google give up any ground at all, you know?
Yeah, well, we've had Neva on the show, and I also am a DuckDuckGo fan myself, and they both have their own thing. Like, DuckDuckGo's...
They've carved out a
space. They get most of everything from the, you know, Microsoft Index or whatever, but then they re-rank it, and there is a privacy aspect. And then with Neva, it's completely private and customizable. You have to be a paying customer, so there's no ads on Neva, which is kind of interesting.
Neva's the new like Greylock backed one, right? It's like
And it's a lot of ex-Googlers on the ex-Googler ad.
Yeah. I'm aware of it. I actually don't know much about it, but I'll read up on Neva as well.
But yeah, we're going to keep an eye on Ahrefs, Tim Solo. We're keeping an eye on you guys, seeing what you're up to. seeing what's going to happen here. And I'm glad to see some other folks in the SEO world are looking at it as well. I guess they're going to add it to their tracking as well, right? So if you have enough people monitoring where you're tracking, then we'll see what happens. So it should be fun. And I also do like the diversity in the world. I think that we're so like Google prone to have something else out there that people may be using is it's a bit exciting right now.
I'm fine with that. I agree. Like, as much as I love Google, Google is like, I don't know why people look at Facebook as the monopoly. Like, Google's the like 9 million pound gorilla in the room as far as digital marketing. So I tend to agree with you.
100%. Well, on that note, Mark, thank you so much for joining the show today. for anyone who's listening who has any questions or follow-up questions about Mark, Growth Marketing Pro, or Growth Bar, please feel free to email. You can email me at Loren, L-O-R-E-N, at Search Engine Journal. I'll pass on those questions. Drop them in the comments if you're watching later, and we'll pass them over to you, Mark.
Awesome. Loren, thanks again. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks again to all of our listeners and watchers. And thanks again, Mark, for dropping in today. It's nice meeting you in person, and I'll drop you a note next time I go down the Oceanside.
Please do.
Okay. Have a good one, everybody.
All right. Bye.